This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And good evening to you for Wednesday, October 17th, 2012. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly, and I'm here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter. Hey, Vicki.
Hey, good evening, Doug. Good evening, everyone. I'm so looking forward to tonight's topic. It's one of my very favorites, so I'm excited.
Yes, we're going to be talking about psychics versus mentalists, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a bit here. It's good to have everybody with us, whether you're listening to the live program or listening to the archive. Thanks for joining us tonight. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And, of course, in addition to this weekly radio program, MCHS Church also operates the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, where you can earn your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics and specialize in a number of areas, including spiritual counseling, life coaching, holistic healing, paranormal science, and there's several others too. If you'd like more information about the school, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. For more information about the church, you can visit mchschurch.org. Before we get into our topic, we want to do our profession of beliefs. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles are, in brief, 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek are already existing within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these three synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. 8, we believe in the value of practical education, metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And again, for more information on MCHS Church, as well as these principles of belief, visit mchschurch.org. So tonight, we are going to be talking about psychics versus mentalists. If you have any comments, you're listening live, you can ask. You can make your comments or ask questions in the chat room. If you want to call in, you can do that. Dr. John Hightower is screening calls, so you get to talk with him. And just a little bit of a description on our show tonight. As the description reads, what is a mentalist? How many psychics may actually be mentalists? How much of being psychic is actually being a mentalist? How does mentalism fit in or relate to psychic impressions? And we're going to talk about the differences between psychics and mentalists, as well as Vicki's auto-sensory perceptions and intuition. We can talk about this in a grounded way, of course, as usual.
As usual.
Yeah, this is a great topic. And it's an interesting topic, and it really delves into quite a number of areas. I was thinking, I mean, there's just a number of areas because, I'll let you jump in here, Vicki, and kind of take the reins here, and see what you want to say, and then we'll back it up with some descriptions or definitions of mentalist.
Well, I know you were doing some research today, Doug, on the definition, particularly in Wikipedia, about mentalism or a mentalist. So, you know, go ahead, fire away with that one first.
Well,
that's a good way to start.
Yeah, it is. We all know what a psychic is. Basically, a psychic gets information from without or from outside of him or herself. So, you know, from presumably, in my opinion, from the Akashic Record, which is universal consciousness. So that's psychic impression, psychic information. It doesn't come from within, it comes from without. Mentalism, or being a mentalist, is really a form of, it's an art form, it's almost a form of entertainment, and it does not rely on any outside information whatsoever. In fact, mentalists are very, the good ones are very, very skilled at reading people, and they will read body language, they will deduce information about you from your hairstyle, the clothes you're wearing, your jewelry, how you carry yourself, your facial expressions, and many other things. I mean, they can get a lot of information about you just from looking at you and interacting just a little bit from you. Mentalists don't believe in psychic ability. Most of the well-known mentalists, or at least several of the more public ones, or the more, I don't know, dramatic ones like James Randi, absolutely does not believe in psychic phenomena whatsoever. And, you know, he's even put up that $1 million prize for anybody who can prove that psychic ability exists, and nobody's apparently collected it, although some people have claimed that they've provided him sufficient proof. But, you know, James Randi is just a hardcore skeptic, and Michael Shermer's another hardcore skeptic. And we'll talk about that, because that's a part of this whole thing. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But mentalists basically use cold reading techniques to get information about you, mental tricks. And some of them are very, very good. In fact, I'm reminded of the TV series The Mentalist, which I really like that show. It's a great show. And there's also Psych, which is another form of mentalist-type show. So if you've watched those shows at all, you kind of get an idea of what a mentalist does. Is it Chris Angel? Is that what I'm...
Chris, it is.
Chris,
yeah.
Angel, he's a mentalist.
He's amazing, too.
And here's another distinction to make. Mentalism is not strictly the same as magic, although some magicians will use aspects of mentalism in their act. David Copperfield does. There's some others. But, you know, it's like mind-reading tricks that a magician might do. So they'll encompass some of that, and sometimes they call that mind magic, mental magic, that sort of thing. So that's kind of a basic understanding of it.
Well, and I think with mentalists, I allow room for telepathy. You know, it's not just about, you know, being observant, you know, about other people. You know, I think there's energy involved, and I think that there's some telepathy involved. I think that we always have this aura, if you will, and this has nothing to do with being psychic. We all have this kind of energy field, an auric field, that can easily be read. You know, do you remember mood rings, Doug? I think they still have them.
Yeah, they're
around. Sure, depending on your body temperature, which any number of factors can change your biochemical system, your electromagnetic frequencies, if you will, and it changes the color of the stone. So, I mean, there's so many elements, and this is why the study of metaphysics is just so fascinating, because there are many things that a psychic might do that can be scientifically explained. And there's a lot of things I think that mentalists do that, in my view, can be psychically explained. But there really is no definitive, explanation for what psychics do. Because I think that a lot of psychic experiences are really stimulated by emotion. And I think in many of the tests that have been done on psychics, it's because emotions can't be duplicated. I had a wonderful teacher, Frank Appleyard. I studied hypnosis under him. And he said so many of the experiments that have been done on psychics, they can't be done. That's why they always fail. But psychic energy is promoted by something inside. You know, you have to have a desire to connect with some energy, or, you know, some, let's say, energy randomly comes to you, some information like an epiphany or a vision or a prophecy, whatever, and it's inspired by an emotional response. So there's this other kind of energy going on that mentalists don't include. So it's, in my view, I love that definition, those definitions that you gave, Doug, but I think that we can also include a simple thing that's just a vibration, just an energy. And if we're really sensitive to, just think about hot and cold. Think about temperatures. You know, oh, it's a windy, cold day. Well, imagine that you're with, you encounter an individual and you get a windy, cold feeling. And a mentalist is able to, it's like gauge immediately what the sense is, mm-hmm. and be able to translate it. So they're very, very good at reading that energy between people. Now, there's, of course, brain functions for that, too. So go ahead.
Why don't you explain autosensory perception so that listeners know?
You know, this took me really a very, very long time to figure out. Because I knew what I could do, and I could explain the different parts of what I do and certain abilities that I have. But I couldn't articulate it, and it took a long time. Did some reading, did some research, and it's actually coined by Frank Appleyard, again, you know, my hypnosis teacher. Autosensory. We are automatically sensory beings, so that's where the term came from. Autosensory. We, again, are able to gauge energy. So where does that come from? Well, there's that front part of the brain. You know, it's the ventral medial prefrontal cortex is what it's apparently called. I'm not in medicine, so I'm just relaying the terms, that has this perceptivity. Now, in a lot of philosophies, religions and such, they talk about that third eye. Well, that's actually the pineal gland that they're talking about. That's way back in the brain. So, again, I have to make a difference. The pineal gland, which is in the brain, connects to what's believed to be the soul or the spirit up through the top of the head. This that I'm talking about is actually a brain function. Now, if you've ever been around people who aren't good at giving space, you know, they crowd you, they aren't really sensitive to, you know, somebody who crowds you in the cash register, Doug, everybody's had that happen to them. Mm-hmm. You know, they just have no gauge of space. And those are people generally who are not as perceptive and they have a lower front brain activity. So it just means that they don't have a lot of activity in that front brain to be perceptive of their environment. High-functioning front brain people are what we call highly autosensory, which would then classify into the mentalists. So high-functioning front brain people are very, very perceptive to energy and the feel of energy. And it could include all of the five senses. You know, they might have a dominant one. I am highly perceptive, which I wanted to understand over the years. What's the difference between me just being perceptive with someone and being psychic? Where is that psychic element? Well, here's how I kind of briefly describe this. If I walk into a room and I say, whoa, you know, I've got a vibe about this place, that's easily explainable to be a sensory perception. It's a brain function, a body function. It's an EMF function, you know, nervous system we can get into, because you're having a reaction to a stimuli, to an environment. But if I'm getting ready to go out and I haven't got there yet, And I have a sense of something going to happen tonight. I have a sense of it. And I get there and something happens. It's precognitive, meaning I have nothing physical to explain the sense. Then that is being intuitive or psychic. So in a reading with people, it's how much, there's a balance. I don't think any psychic who's very good at what they do isn't also a high-functioning autosensory.
Sure.
There's a blend.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Did I explain that well enough?
I think you did. And so let's talk, to further delve into this, let's talk about really the mentalist aspect of it. And we're going to focus on cold reading and hot reading and warm reading because that's what mentalists use. They use these different things. And they can come off very good. And also, like you said, Vicki, they are very perceptive. So some people are just gifted that way. They're very perceptive. They pick up on different things very easily and very quickly. And they're just street smart, if you will. They can translate that into demographic information. Some of the techniques that are used, one is shotgunning. And if you look closely at some of these purported psychics, you can see some of these types of shotgunning, techniques, not to be redundant. All right, so here's a couple of some of these phrases are taken from Wikipedia. I also have some in my course material, but I got here quicker. So here's one. I see a heart problem with a father figure in your family, a father, a grandfather, an uncle, a cousin. I'm definitely seeing chest pain here for a father figure in your family. That's a type of one. And I talked about this experience before, but I'll just mention it because it's relevant. I was teaching a paranormal course here, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago here locally. And I had several people in the class. It was an all-day class on a Saturday. And I was going over cold reading and trying to psychic development and all that. And so I had been, obviously, this was the early afternoon, so we'd already been all morning. We had lunch. Now we were back at it in the early afternoon. And I was talking about cold reading. Well, I'd had a chance to observe my students there in the class. And so I gave them, I didn't do anything, underhanded or anything. It's just, look, let me give you an example of cold reading. And so I picked on a particular student. I selected this student. She was a lady probably about, early 60s. And I just felt she would be a good target, not to use that in a bad way, but a good subject, shall we say. And so I kind of looked around the room, not too quickly zero in on her, and I basically did the act. You know, I put my hand at my head and I'm kind of thinking, and I'm picking up on an entity that is actually standing just right behind you, and we'll call her Carol. I forget her name, but we'll call her Carol. Standing right behind you, Carol, and she kind of gets some big eyes. And this is a male energy. Somebody very important to you in your life. It could be a father, a grandfather, a brother, a cousin. But he's there, and he's kind of pointing to his chest. And I don't know if that. And I pause and I say, "Just a minute, I'm getting it. You know, I'm just not coming through very good." It's like something with his chest. I don't know if he was shot in the war, or whether he had a heart condition or lungs or something. And her eyes are getting bigger and bigger. And she says, "Oh, that's my father," or something like that. Or my brother, she says, "is my brother." And I said, "Well, his name." Well, not, even before she said it was my brother, before she said that, I said, I said, "What's your name?" I just, spoke to this supposed entity behind her. And I says, "I'm getting something that starts with a J. It could be his first name. It could be his middle name. It could be his last name. I'm not sure." And she, again, that's when she said, "Well, that's my brother, John." And so I kind of milked this a little bit for another minute or two. And then I said, "Okay, now that's an example of cold reading. I did not see any kind of entity. I'm not necessarily psychic here. I just playing, doing shotgunning and playing off of her reactions. She says, no, you got that all right. You are psychic. And I says, well, I appreciate that, but I'm really not. I was just showing you how cold reading works. You know, I was pretty upfront. And interestingly, after the cold class was done, she was the last to leave, and she was thanking me. She says, and I still think you're psychic. She would not take it any other way. And it was a simple cold reading. So that's a
shot.
But
you're playing the odds, too.
Of course. That's what
they do. I mean, it's like any hypnotist, you know, performing hypnotist, will pick a subject for very particular reasons. You know, I mean, and it's said mm-hmm. that, you know, there's an actor in everyone. It's just to what degree are they an actor? And who are you likely to get up on the stage with you and act like a chicken? And that's extreme, I know. But right. it's being able to target somebody and pick on them and play the odds.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you did with this woman. If she's in her 60s, very likely that mm-hmm. she has somebody who's had a heart
Absolutely.
Attack. You're going for the chest. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not being, to me, a good example of it being more accurate that you could have been psychic and didn't know it, is if you came up with details about him,
right.
about John,
right.
that
but
only she would know.
Exactly. And
you
I
know,
didn't. There was no specific. And the reason I picked Jay is because there are so many names with Jay. It was a good chance. It was a good shot
yeah.
at it. So, you know, so that's a cold reading. There's some other techniques that are used to, there's one called the Forer effect, F-O-R-E-R, Forer effect. Statements like, I sense that you are sometimes insecure, especially with people you don't know very well. I mean, think how many people that will apply to. You have a box of old unsorted photographs in your house. You had an accident when you were a child involving water. You're having problems with a friend or a relative. Well, you know, so many people are. Those are some of the four effects. Then there's warm readings where you get a little bit of information. Hot readings is when you actually get bona fide information about them. It could come from a plant in the audience. It could come from something you overhear them saying when they don't realize it. There's also another one called the rainbow ruse. And it uses statements like this. Most of the time you're positive and cheerful, but there has been a time in the past when you were very upset. It takes like opposites. You're a very kind and considerate person, but when somebody does something to break your trust, you feel deep-seated anger. So those are some statements there. And there's an interesting quote here on Wikipedia. This is under cold reading. And I'll just read it to you. Former New Age practitioner Carla McLaren said, quote, I didn't understand that I had long used a form of cold reading in my own work. I was never taught cold reading, and I never intended to defraud anyone. I simply picked up the technique through cultural osmosis, unquote. McLaren has further stated that since she was always very perceptive, she could easily figure out many of the issues her clients brought into sessions with them. In order to reduce the appearance of unusual expertise that might have created a power differential, she posed her observations as questions rather than facts. This attempt to be polite, she realized, actually invited the client to, as McLaren has said, lean into the reading and give her more pertinent information. So here's somebody who finally figured out, wow, I'm just really good at perception and perceiving people, and I'm quick to think, and I can pinpoint their issue. And, you know, it got to a point where she's, you know, really convinced herself that she was psychic. And this goes on to say, too, that when people do these hundreds of types of readings, and they get really good at this cold reading, and even warm reading, they begin believing they can read minds, or, you know, and, you know, read what's going on with the people. So that's one of the things we wanted to talk about tonight, too, Vicki, is bearing that in mind.
I want to say that I very often ask my clients questions. For one, I need to know I'm plugged into the right energy. But the others, I don't like to freak people out. It's also a technique that I used. I've been doing this a long time. I've been doing this for 40 years. And I find that if I speak in absolutes, like in these, you know, drop sentences, that it makes people very uncomfortable. So very often I'll say, look, this is what I see, and I'll explain what I see, and I say, do you relate to that in any way? And it's either yes or no. And even if somebody says no, I say, well, then I'm going to go with it. It hasn't happened yet. Write it down, just file it, and you've got it for reference in the future. Now, that's how I do use questions, Doug, but it's more a comfort to somebody. It's more a putting people at ease, and we can move through the reading a little simpler. Not only that, I truly believe that the whole point of getting a reading is to give you a heads up. And if you've got a heads up, you can change it. Mm-hmm. Anything that's in a reading, the reason it's there is because there's something that you can work with it. So one thought changes your whole life. Truly believe that. So we're just, all we're doing, all I'm doing, is helping clarify an energy or clarify issues in somebody's life and telling them what's likely to come as a result. Now, I want to be very clear here. A lot of this is just sensibility, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just the natural cause and effect. You know, if you put your hand on that stove, you will burn yourself. So, but if I say to somebody, I think you're going to burn yourself by doing that, wow, you're psychic. No, I'm not. Mm-hmm. You just put your hand on the stove. And I try to be as honest as I know with people. I say it doesn't take a psychic to tell you the answer to this. This is sensibility. So this is where I believe that there's a difference between somebody who's just going to do a reading, you know, who's just going to lay some facts out and be done with it, or somebody who is a reader who knows how to be with people and help people through their lives, because, you know, each of us has our own calling. And I write about this in the Certified Holistic Tarot Reader course, both one, and now I'm writing course two. And being very careful to make the distinction that whether it's cards, no matter what you use, it's just a vehicle. So even the individual you're sitting with is a catalyst for giving you energy, and things can randomly come out of anywhere. Mm-hmm. So it's such a subtlety that only an individual, if they're really honest, can tune in and ask themselves, can I explain this sensibly? Can I explain this scientifically? And if I can, then I know how to start to distinguish where my intuition is, so I can work on building my intuition. So we have to watch, and for anybody, what they internally want to build on. If they're trying to build on their perceptivity, well, then you can just get a book on body language, you know, mm-hmm. which maybe is not a bad thing to do, because we all need to have better skills to interact with one another. Mm-hmm. But if you're also going to think about building on your intuition and your sensitivities for energy, you know, I think I said this one to you just not too long ago. It just comes to mind. I did a reading for somebody just about 2 weeks ago, and I said, you know, I can't get this picture of Italy out of my head. Okay, this man, he was on Skype. I could see him. There was nothing Italian about this man at all. In fact, nothing about his work, nothing about his life. There was nothing that would give me any indication of, you know, why, scientifically or otherwise, why Italy stuck in my head. So I said, you know, three times now, and I go with that three thing. If it's stuck in my head three times, pops in, I got to tell you, there's an association with Italy. I'm not telling you you're going to Italy, but I feel like you're dealing with Italy. You have a contact with Italy, and there's these communications with Italy, because it won't leave my head. He said he had just applied for a job, and their head office is in Italy.
Hmm.
Now, that is what I call a purely psychic experience.
Right.
There's no other explanation for it. So how do I build on that if I want to continue to build my intuition? Well, I have to first know where I'm just really perceptive, if
right.
that makes sense, and just get more comfortable with yourself as you, as you're saying, geez, is this my intuition or is this otherwise? Which, by the way, just for the record, everybody, this is a very different conversation than what dreams are, precognitions, that kind of stuff. We're just talking about one-on-one contact with people and whether or not it's a mentalism or if it is a psychic kind of experience, particularly for people who've joined us, just recently. So it's making that distinction. What is that about? And trying to get a greater understanding of how we can all be duped. Mm-hmm. But we're all misled. This is the thing, because we don't know what to look for, Doug. That's the problem.
Well, let's make an important distinction here, too. I think this is very important to point out. There's so many of us who are in the business, if you will, of helping other people in a variety of different ways. Metaphysical practitioners, and that can involve spiritual counseling, along with psychic counseling. It can be coaching. It can be a lot of different things. So a lot of us are involved in this type of thing. So are we saying that cold reading is in and of itself bad? No, we're not saying that. Is it wrong to use mentalist-type techniques to help people? No. Yep. What the problem is duping. You don't want to dupe anybody. I mean, I don't consider myself, and people disagree with me, but I don't necessarily consider myself psychic. I just don't. If I'm psychic at all, it's in the empathic area. And I just can read people. I have a feel for people. And I'll tell you what I've come to know is I'm very perceptive at recognizing any change in patterns from people, whether it's people I know, relatives, friends, students, acquaintances, friends, whatever. I can pick up on subtle changes in patterns to such a degree that some of them have thought I was psychic, but I really feel it's just picking up on changes in patterns, and my spidey sense, as I call it, starts tingling here, and I think something's up, or at least I tell myself something's different, something's changed. And so I can perceive those types of things, just one of my gifts. And I use that in coaching and counseling. And when people tell me different things, the way they talk, the words they choose, things of that nature, I will make some assumptions. And it can almost come off as if I'm making a psychic thing. I don't tell them I'm doing that. But sometimes they say, what, are you psychic or something? I said, no, I'm just perceptive. And so that's fine to do that. But one of the things we're trying to do with this program is to help grow awareness, raise awareness. So if you're in the habit of doing psychic predictions or psychic readings and all that, one of the things you've got to do is to understand where this information comes from. And as Vicki has talked so many times, and especially with me, and she's very good at this, is knowing when the information comes from within and knowing when it comes from without. So you have to scrutinize, where's this information coming? If people are coming to you for a psychic reading and all you are really doing is cold reading and being very perceptive, well, maybe you need to change your title. But if you are getting information that's outside of yourself, then, that's fine. You can blend those two to help the person. There's nothing wrong with that.
One of the things, Doug, in readings, a lot of people have asked me, are these spirits around or whatever, who's telling you this? I don't care who's talking in my head. I never have. I've never asked for names. I don't usually. Wherever the information is coming from, I don't need to know. I just dive into the reading. I do a reading and be done with it. However, I will say there have been times where somebody's name pumps into my head, or, it's just, something just won't leave me, and then I know, oh, gee, there's this Maggie name that just won't leave me alone, and I see a picture of somebody. She has something to say. It does not happen very often, though, Doug, because I don't let it happen very often. You can't be real consistent with these things. I mean, there's very few John Edwards, and I think even John Edwards might say that there's some degree of mentalism going on in his work.
There is.
So, I think there would have to be.
There is in everybody's. I mean, it's just part of the blend, And
it's hard to sustain that energy. It's hard to sustain the energy to keep doing that hours at a time and not be exhausted.
Well, I've been around psychics who were psychics, and I've been around psychics who are not psychics. One of the things I always have done is validate psychics. And when Vicki and I first met early on, gosh, a year and a half ago now. I was curious as to know, because I didn't know her. You know, I was curious, is she the real deal here? You know, is she...
He tested me, everybody.
Yeah,
he tested.
I did. And so I said, okay. You know, I said, we were on Skype, so we were seeing each other. And I said, you know, we were chatting away. And I said, well, can you do a reading? You know, I mean, is there anybody around me right now? Any spirits around me? And I had my dad in mind. I mean, that's who I was thinking and hoping was here. And she basically said, well, I see a monk standing behind you. And I about fell off my chair because there's no way she could have known about my purported spiritual guide or advisor, as I call him, Thomas Francis Stanley, as the name later became known. I knew him as Stanley, which is apparently his last name. So I had this from other sources, and it was validated for me. I did not talk to her about it, and you know, and she didn't know me, so she couldn't have known. And she tells me there's a monk behind me. I'm telling you, where did that come from? I mean, I had my dad in mind.
And I described what he was wearing and the kind of robe he was wearing and the color and so on, which was consistent with other psychics who talked to you.
Yes, it was. So?
That's a psychic experience, but another way that I could have handled it, if it wasn't psychic, geez, I don't know. Do you have I want to go back a couple of hundred years here. You know, I could have been digging for responses.
You could have been.
And looked for some kind of response where it would have resonated with you, where
I
would have known.
You could have said a grandparent. That would have been a safe bet. I mean, given my age, you know, a grandparent's not going to be alive. So, unless they're freaking Methuselah. So, you know, that ain't going to happen. So, you know, you could have done that, but you came right off the bat. So, I mean, right off the bat, there was that. And there were several other experiences related to Thomas Francis. But one thing I did not tell her was the name. And I did not tell her his name for 3 weeks. And I kept saying, what name are you getting? And she kept coming up with Thomas Francis. And there's more to the story. But finally, the names Thomas Francis Stanley were all connected for me several months later. And so that it kind of came to fruition. But... she didn't come up with Stanley. Another psychic did, out of the blue, came up with Stanley.
You know, it might help for people to know in here, too, that simultaneous to this, there was a number of other events that happened that validated more for Doug, such as somebody actually writing into the school by the name of Thomas Francis.
Yeah, that's...
And that was, you know, little things like this that... validated the experience. So it was like it was synchronicity.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about the Akashic records, the universe. It's okay, show me. You know, and so a whole number of experiences validated. And that's what will happen. If there is some kind of message, some kind of psychic impression, psychic experience that's going on, it will validate. This is why I often wait for it to come to me. You know, and it can happen very rapidly with me. It's like, I see it. I get a dialogue in my head, and I'll say, okay, I see that. But I wait for a few more seconds to see if it repeats. And then if it repeats again, because usually they're very bizarre things that mean absolutely nothing to me, and I can't make sense of them. So I wait. 3 times is my cue. I say, okay, this is impressed upon me 3 times now. And wherever it's coming from in the universe, I'm going to give it to you. But that's how people... So if you're doing it for yourself, is what I'm trying to say to the audience, that wait for something to validate itself in different ways. Because, you know, one random thing does not a psychic make. You know,
right.
It's like, that's not how it works. But it is to be, again, conscious of who you're seeing when they're using mentalist capabilities that are not wrong to do, provided do no harm, do right, the philosophy of the school, please, do no harm, do right. Make sure that you're acting in good faith toward people, that you're really being supportive, not because you need to be smart and get the money. You know,
mm-hmm.
I, it's just the way it is. You know, I think we want to tend to question/comment of Catherine's in the chat. She was just saying that she was at home relaxing when she suddenly felt compelled to contact a friend to give them a reading. She says, I had no idea what or why. She even felt embarrassed. Anyway, she met with a friend, and I'm gathering that she said, I asked who it was and actually felt as if she slapped me on the back of my arm and said, don't be so foolish, it's so-and-so's mother. Okay, I think I'm getting this kind of confused, Catherine. But Catherine had a message, and her friend validated her her message. So she's asking, can you give me some insight on that? That is a whole different show, and we've talked about this on other shows before, about spirit visitations, you know, channeling, and so on, and we'll certainly do more of them in the future. This is a classic psychic experience, but I got to tell you, Catherine, I don't care who it is. If I get a psychic impression or some spirit visits me and tells me to go call somebody, I say, go to somebody else's house. Because I don't give unsolicited advice. I do not go on these missions like these TV shows. I'm not going there because it's all there is to do it. I have a life in, you know, it's. I'm not going on missions. I think that this is one of these cases where it was with a friend. Obviously, it was an important message, so you're going to follow through on it. I have done this for very, very close friends.
You've done it for me, who just lost.
Yeah, and somebody who's lost somebody, or, you know, for Doug too. You know, hey Doug, I had a dream, blah blah. I've done it for my kids.
Thomas Francis had a message for me once. You know, greatness to deliver, and it happened to be in response to something that Vicky was unaware of that I was asking, and so it came through interestingly, exactly at the right time and what I was asking. So anyway,
yeah, and that was another validation. But this, it's I just want to be clear that when we are exploring these things, be very cautious who you share what with. And how it, because you're going to, I'm just going to come right out and say you're going to piss people off, or you're going to scare people. And then people don't know what's real and what's not anymore. So just a caution, actually, that not to overextend ourselves. But I would say Catherine just got visited by a spirit. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Catherine followed through on it. Catherine got a validation. Her friend got a validation. And that's a good thing. But that's not in any way a mentalist kind of experience. So that's we're just clarifying again the differences. So,
and here's another little thought too. I was talking about me not necessarily being psychic and picking up on changes in patterns and so forth. And I have tested this actually quite a few times. Tested with Vicky. Tested it several times because I'll get a feeling. I'll get what could be a psychic impression on some matter, some issue. And I can kind of tell these apart between what I'm perceiving with people. There's a difference because I'm very, very good at picking up and reading people and perceiving things about people and relationships and so forth. Very, very good. I'm usually not ever wrong. But when it comes to these so-called, for me now, psychic impressions, I'm wrong almost every time on those, but when it comes to people and something's up with people, something's different about people, something's going on with a person, I'm almost always right. So it's like that's another reason why I feel like I'm not necessarily psychic, just very, very perceptive and gifted with reading people and perceiving those things. I wish it was the other way. I wish I could get, you know, be correct in some of these different things, but it hasn't come to pass. There's one other thing too. You go ahead, and then I want to talk about the hardcore skeptic thing. Go ahead.
What I wanted to mention, because you've said it several times, this word is a beautiful word called patterns. The brain is taking in information that we're conscious of. I mean, how many bits of information do we take in how many seconds, Doug? It's enormous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the brain has a patterning. And so whether we're conscious of it or not, the brain is filing and detecting patterns. So that's another a way that somebody's, high autosensory is that they're conscious of patterns repeating or little messages.
Deviating.
Behavior. Sure. And, it's like, oh, something doesn't feel right here. It can be an inflection in somebody's voice.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what, voice is critical. You can get a lot of vibes off a voice. Can you get psychic impressions off a voice? Well, that's open for discussion. But the hearing a voice, how a voice goes up and down, the inflections, the tones, where the voice is coming from. Because if I was talking like this, Doug, you know me, I'm really just not feeling up to, and I might be more insecure. So there's a lot of things we can tell about voices by tones and inflection. So, patterning that's going into the brain is filing and then flagging. and highly perceptive people, and a pattern, I'm a pattern freak. I mean, I watch patterns. Mine is more of behavior. And, over time, I've had to stop doing that so much because I could drive myself crazy. Wait a minute. What they said and what they did is two different things, which is unfortunately most people these days. I hate to say that, but it's true. And so there's not a lot of follow through. So you could just drive yourself crazy because the pattern is that there is no pattern, which is a pattern in and of itself. So know, everybody, that the brain is filing information all the time. Nothing psychic about it. It's, again, another form of mentalism. So I wanted to clear that up where you're talking about patterns, Doug, because it's a great topic, too.
Mm-hmm. Good points. All right. So let's talk about skeptics, and let's talk about some...
My favorite people.
Yeah. So let's talk about some generalizations, too. Basically, mentalists... And it doesn't mean it applies to every single mentalist, but generally speaking, mentalists do not believe in psychic phenomena. Many magicians do not. Houdini was a strong advocate against psychic phenomena and ability, basically due to his own mother issues. I believe that she'd passed and he tried to contact her and somebody just feigned it and disappointed him anyway. But basically, mentalists don't believe in psychic phenomena as a rule. There's always exceptions to the rule. So you almost have these two classes here. You've got the mentalists who are very good at picking up on cues and cold reading and things like that, body language and making all these determinations. Then you've got the psychics on the other side who believe in supernatural phenomena, information comes from psychic sources, etc. And you've got some of these advocates, both for and against, but a couple that I've already mentioned, one is James Randi, the other is Michael Shermer, and they are staunchly against any kind of supernatural, paranormal phenomena, including psychic ability. And they're absolutely, fundamentalist against. I mean, they're just hardcore skeptics. In my opinion...
Doug.
Sorry?
That's all I care.
As long
no
as
burning.
Yeah, no burning the witches, right? But in my opinion, they are no different than the very people that they accuse. I mean, you've got people on both extremes. You've got people who will believe anything on faith, will believe anything on little evidence or no evidence. You've got these poor people sitting in these rooms with these psychic readers going on, some of who have been on TV. And these people have lost loved ones. They're in dire straits. They're grieving. They're going to pick up and they're going to believe about anything. And even if it comes close to making a hit, they're going to believe it. And so these skeptics, these hardcore skeptics, will basically accuse these people of all kinds of things. You know, they're not that strong. They're stupid, whatever. And, of course, they accuse the psychics as well. Here's the thing. Belief and disbelief are two sides of the same coin. You cannot disbelieve something without also believing in something else. So when it comes to this stuff, don't be a hardcore skeptic, because psychic phenomena is unfalsifiable. It's like the existence of God. It is unfalsifiable. That means it can be neither proven right or wrong. It can not be proven one way or another. It's unfalsifiable. And so when you take such a hardcore position on either side, you know, you're basically operating off of faith, belief, and as I've said numerous times, belief is the most potent force in the universe. It's responsible for every war. It's responsible for your successes and failures. It's responsible for everything. And so belief and disbelief are two sides of the same coin. You can't prove it one way or another. So to take a staunch side one way or the other is really not healthy. And I get real irritated at times with the James Randis and the Michael Shermers of the world and some of the others who, you know, and even humanists. I mean, here we are, you know, metaphysical humanistic science. Well, the difference between MCHS Church and most humanist organizations, they don't believe in paranormal, life after death, any of that. We do. And there's a very definite reason why we do. It took me a long, long, long time to basically say, yes, I now have compelling evidence that's reasonably defensible for belief in life after death. And I do. And I talk about it, and I teach that. But it took me a long time. But I had to accumulate that evidence and be able to stand on it, which I can't. And I, you know, so the point I'm trying to make with all of this is don't be a hardcore skeptic, you know, because you can't prove it anyway. You know, it's always easier to say, oh, no, that doesn't exist. UFOs, prove they exist. You're full of it. Well, that's an easy position to take, since I can't just exactly, you know, lasso a UFO and say, oh, here's your proof. I'd rather say, here's your sign. But be in the middle, you know, keep an open mind. Don't be credulous. That means gullible. You know, don't be that either. Just have your wits about you. If you're going to get a psychic reading, don't give them any information. They're still going to be able to pick up some information about you based on your body language and the way you're dressed and jewelry and so forth, hairstyles and all that, ethnicity. But don't give them anything. You know, if you really want to see if you're getting a good reading, don't give them anything. Don't react. You know, it's like playing poker. Give them your poker face and see what they come up with. You know, don't be hostile against them. Just don't give them anything. And that's exactly what I do whenever I get a psychic reading. And, you know, the only readings that I've ever gotten that were worth anything were basically from people that I've worked with in my paranormal investigations, including Vicky and a couple of others. But any psychics I've ever gone to and paid, you know, honestly, I could have done a better job than they did. And they weren't really psychics. They were just cold reading me and trying to. So that's what I have to say about hardcore skeptics.
You know, I ask of people, like a lot of clients and that I've never met before, say, what should I do? What do you want me to bring? What should I give you? Nothing. Don't give me anything. Well, I have some questions. Look, if I don't cover it in the reading, which I'd be surprised, but if I don't cover it in the reading, you can ask at the end. Usually the questions at the end, I refer back to the reading. It's just the way they heard it. Mm. You know, it's I can refer back to it. The less information I have, the less prejudiced I am. Because this is really critical, everyone. We're all prejudiced by some way, mm-hmm. even if
biased.
It's some other, yeah, absolutely. And so this is what I try to keep my mind clear, always kind of clean the slate. Great old advice my teacher Magda said is, even if you read for somebody yesterday, you clean your slate because their life could have changed, you know, in one day. It can change in an hour. Keep in mind that when we do reveal information, we're changing the energy. So could it have happened? A lot of time, you know, if I'm going to tell somebody, please go home and tell your daughter or son, do not, you know, be careful about getting pregnant because I'm seeing a child here. And it's one of those things. I don't need your daughter to have a baby for me to be right. I don't care. I think that it's just wise. It's going to open a dialogue. Only good can come of this, because if they don't want a child, then you should all have the discussion. Because I don't care about being right. I'm long past that. I just go with it because it feels right and it's the right thing to do. Now, again, it's that less information is better, and just really having faith that what you're saying and what you're giving is truly plugged in. Now, sometimes we can get cross wires. I think the job of any good psychic is, in your own evolution, to ask, you know, give that first 5 or 10 minutes and then ask a question. Am I on the right page here? Are we both on the same page? And they go, yes. I say, good. So I'm not reading for their sister, you know, or something.
Right.
So, because that can happen. So it's just trying to be, again, as you used that word, Doug, not biased. But skeptics, I love skeptics. Actually, they're some of my best readings. You know, people who are cynical, skeptical. Putty in my hand, Doug. I tell you, putty in my hand.
Well, they would be, you know.
But you know, the thing is, we have
healthy
to have
skepticism
a
is fine. You know, healthy yeah. skepticism. But, you know.
I'm skeptical. I think that that's good for good critical thinking. I like to be observant. I like to know what I'm looking at. I'm not just going to take what... You know, the power of the thought, Doug, if somebody plants a seed in my mind from a reading, I'm hanging on that thought. And there's a huge responsibility that we all have with one another about what kinds of information. So I think it's good for all of us to be a little bit cynical, a little bit skeptical, even of ourselves, that we keep expanding and growing as long as we have that balance. Because to be too much of one way or the other, as you said earlier, then we're denying ourselves an expansion of the mind and an evolution. So why not open our minds to all these other possibilities? Why not try to explain better what mentalists do from a scientific point of view? Why not try to expand and explore psychic phenomenon, the paranormal? And why not be open-minded to all possibilities, because our minds, and you know, it's the human condition, it's the human experience, we continue to evolve. Mm-hmm. So that's where balanced thought, balanced mind, you know, taking in more information, but it you know, a little bit of skepticism is a good thing.
Well, it is, you know, and what you're really talking about is being a critical thinker, not just accepting something on blind faith or with little evidence,
yeah.
But to really trying to defend it. And that's what I teach in the school, is, you know, be able to defend your beliefs. If you believe something, fine. Be able to reasonably defend it. And that's what you need to be able to do. Don't just believe for belief's sake. Too many people believe that are doing that, and they're it's unhealthy. So be a critical thinker. That means assess what you're getting with a critical eye. You know, don't be closed-minded. You don't necessarily have to hold a particular belief or disbelief in any particular area. It's like reincarnation. I neither believe nor disbelieve in it. I'm open to it, and I'm still looking for compelling information to prove it one way or another. But, you know, and as if you're a paranormal investigator, same thing. You know, keep an open mind.
Yep. Maybe the day we'll go through a circuit.
With no preconceived notions. And go ahead and repeat what you just said.
Well, maybe the day will come when we can all go through a Stargate together, Doug. That would be great.
That'd be cool.
Hey, listen, this hour went by so fast. Thank you so much, Doug.
Yeah. And thanks to everybody for listening. Great points. We appreciate your comments and so forth. If you'd like more information on MCHS Church, just visit mchschurch.org. You want information on our school, metaphysicsinstitute.org. Appreciate John Hightower manning the phones, helping produce behind the scenes. Appreciate those who are listening live, as well as the archive listeners. Let others know about it if you like it, and join us next week for another topic. Have a great night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.